going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
Right, it is the Going Deep podcast, and on this edition of the episode, we're going to go deep on an issue that is really important to myself and many Canadians, and one that's personally close to my heart. And normally, you hear later in the episode, straight on the break, my grandparents, Clifton and Lucille, celebrating me for having a show. Well, their daughter, my Aunt Pat, is one of the many Canadians that sadly we lost to MS, which is why the awareness about it and talking about it is really important. You'd be surprised potentially to know that Canada has one of the highest rates of MS in the world, with over 90,000 Canadians living with the complex and unpredictable disease right now. One of them is Amber Brody, wife of Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman TJ Brody. She was diagnosed with MS in 2016 after experiencing some troubles with her vision and losing some feeling from the waist down. But it's something she feels compelled to talk about because of how prevalent it is, even though for many people, how private it is, because it can be somewhat of an invisible disease if you aren't outwardly dealing with symptoms at the moment. On average, 12 Canadians are diagnosed with MS every day. 60% of adults diagnosed with MS are between the ages of 20 and 49. So this is very much so a young person's disease and disability, specifically when we're talking about women. Women are 3 times more likely than men to be diagnosed with the disease. And actually, 75% of people living with MS in Canada right now, in fact, are women. If you haven't heard of MS, multiple sclerosis, it's a neurological disease that affects the central nervous system. And as I mentioned, it can be unpredictable, not just for the person who has it, but for the people around them, people that they love, people that they're close to, people who they take care of. And so that's why the story of the Brodies is so important. And that's why TJ feels the need to be alongside his wife and not only speak up, but do something about it. One of the things they're doing about it is they partnered with A&W Canada to celebrate the 15th annual Burger to Beat MS Day. That's actually coming up on August 17th in support of MS. So essentially all it is go eat a burger. For every teen burger that's sold across the country, $2 of that is donated to find a cure from MS. And we have raised $19 million thus far. And obviously, we'd like to get to the goal of $2 million plus in 2023. So now you know the problem and the potential solution, but I want you to empathetically hear and feel what it's like on a person, on a family to live with MS. So on this edition of Going Deep, we have an in-depth conversation with TJ and Amber Brody on their family's struggle and triumph with MS.
Let's start at the beginning. How'd you two meet?
We actually grew up together. TJ started playing hockey in the town that I lived in, and that was just kind of where everyone hung out when we were kids. And yeah, so we started to get to know each other then, but we didn't start dating until our early 20s.
And what was that like?
It was great. I mean, it was long distance. I was off playing hockey, and then, you know, obviously in the summer we got to spend some time together and get to know each other, and then, you know, I just went from there.
We quickly moved in, and I think people thought we were a little bit crazy, but here we are.
When did you first start experiencing symptoms?
Probably about a year after TJ and I started dating. It was super weird and super scary, and you didn't really know what it was. But I was told that it was the first sign in women my age of MS. So obviously it was shocking, but yeah.
I mean, for me, it was obviously scary. At the same time, everything you read, it was autoimmune and stress made it worse. So I was always trying to be the optimist, and sometimes I would work the other way and she'd get mad at me and I'd cause more stress than I wanted to. But I think just not knowing how it would progress or, what a year from now would look like or 2 years, it's something that, you worry about.
What scared you?
Probably the most was the burden. I didn't know, again, we were newly dating, so I didn't know if this was going to be a game changer for us or, obviously it wasn't. And I think that speaks volumes to who he is as a person. He stuck around and, he's rock solid support always.
You end up proposing. Any thought at all?
No thought at all. It didn't change anything in my mind. Obviously, certain things we've planned for down the road, just in case we need. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have one single thought about MS when I was, contemplating it.
Was that an emotional time for you?
Oh, for sure. I know, when TJ first proposed, I know my dad was kind of like, wow, it kind of shows what kind of a person he is. And like I said, he's a quiet, calm support system, which is exactly what I need because I'm kind of an emotional, I'm the emotional one. So yeah, we make a good team that way.
When you started getting symptoms, did you go through a bit of a Google rabbit hole?
Of course. Yeah, I think just like anybody, it's a shock. It's when you hear MS, you think all the worst things, and everyone's journey with MS is so different. I think the biggest struggle is you kind of have one perception about what it's going to look like for you, and that's not necessarily the case. So,
Yeah, I think mentally too, it's, everyone sleeps weird one night and, they might feel off or something. So, I know she would worry, wake up and be like, oh, I don't feel right today. And you never know if it's MS related or just one of those days where you slept weird and that's what it is. And I was always usually wrong, but I was always trying to tell her, maybe you just slept weird and
yeah,
it's okay.
Does that aspect haunt you a bit at that time?
For sure. I think that's the hardest. That's what I struggle with the most with the disease is the unknown, the uncertainty, especially now having children. It wasn't necessarily the having kids part. It was the, am I going to be able to take care of them forever part that was the scariest. So that's definitely what I struggle with, but it's day by day.
Having kids, massive decision, at the best of times.
Yes.
Never mind when you have MS and when, you're being treated. Walk me through the decision and what that was like.
There was no question that we wanted to have kids. It was just a little bit more planning on our end as far as going off of treatment to try and get pregnant and maybe changing different things in our lifestyle. TJ definitely stepping up to take on some of the
I have no idea.
Picking up the slack. If I'm tired and a little bit stressed out, he's always there to back me up. So yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't go back.
No. Yeah. And I mean, you can't control it and you don't want it to control your life. So, mm-hmm. You take it day by day and, having kids is one of the best things you can experience. So,
We're very fortunate.
Yeah.
Has the aspect of kids helped in a way?
For sure. On my good days, I completely forget I have MS and I mean, they're a great distraction that way too. Definitely fortunate. And like I said, my good days, I forget I have it. And on my bad days, I do struggle with different symptoms like fatigue and numbness and vision loss. But yeah, they're a good distraction in that way.
Imagine the decision to have kids. There's multiple fears. One, what will coming off of treatment trigger and do? And two, mm-hmm. what will having kids trigger mm-hmm. and do? How did you manage, you know, those potential, you know, barriers to, you know, making this a mm-hmm. bigger family?
I think with any type of diagnosis, it's like I like to say in a weird way, it's a blessing because it makes you change your perspective on life and like you just become much more grateful for everything that you have. Yeah, we're just very lucky to have two beautiful kids and we just go day by day.
I mean, you did change, you know, we started trying to eat healthier. I feel like you're way more in tune with your body since it's happened.
Yes, which sometimes is like a good thing and a bad thing. Yeah. I feel like every little thing I'm very aware of feeling-wise. But yeah, like TJ said, I have changed different lifestyle habits. I definitely follow a more anti-inflammatory diet and super active, which I think is helpful for anybody. But that's just what has worked for me, and I'll just continue to do that in this season of life that I'm in.
Sounds like an athlete mindset of attacking the problem, controlling what you can mm-hmm. control. So what does that look like? What are the guardrails that you've set up for yourself to put yourself in the most optimal position for health?
Well, when we lived in Calgary, I did a lot of cryotherapy, which just helps with inflammation. And now we actually have a cold tub, which has been super helpful. It's not the most enjoyable thing to do. but I find that it helps for me with inflammation. And then, like I said, like just eating things that reduce inflammation is huge for me. And then as well as exercise. And like I said, changing the perspective of life. And I look at exercise now so differently as like this is something that I can do and I might not always be able to do it. So I'm very fortunate that way.
As an athlete, specifically the way you play and the way your game profiles, it's like, what can I do? How can I, you know, change the scenario and the situation? With this, were you looking for ways that you can kind of lean in and make an impact wherever you could?
Yeah, I try to be, you know, the best husband and dad I can be. You know, obviously we're gone a lot, and when I'm home, I, you know, try to be there as much as I can and, you know, just support around the house. If mm-hmm. things need to be done, then, you know, get up and do them. It's, you know, a lot different than before kids, obviously. you know, used to have a nap and stuff. You know, sometimes you're just a little tired, but, yeah, you know, you sleep at night. And, you know, it's been a lifestyle change, but,
yeah, but
you know,
we
for
may,
the better.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of the lifestyle changes, her diet changed. Did your diet change as well?
Not as much. I'm more aware of what I eat. And, like, through all the research, like, we've looked at so many things to see what we can, like, do ourselves to, you know, help her. And
mm-hmm. I have changed
since
you have, but we definitely have a healthy balance too, I would say. Yeah.
For you at all, seeing her go through it and struggle, was there ever an aspect of survivor's guilt where you're physically healthy, you literally work with your body at the highest level, and yet, you know, the person that you love is struggling with their body?
Definitely. I feel like it's like anyone that's watching someone go through something, you always wish that, you know, you could just take the burden off them and, you know, do it yourself or do it for them. And then, you know, just the mental side of it. There's days where I forget she has it and I don't even think to ask, like, how are you feeling? Because I don't even want her thinking, starting to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never want to put that thought in her mind.
If it's not there already.
I know there's days where she is thinking about it, and, you know, it's exhausting.
That would lead to some potentially bigger, more perspective emotional talks. Is that something that comes natural to you?
No. I deal with things a lot different than Amber. I like to do it on my own, you know, sit back and think about it for a bit. where she likes to talk about it. So that's been one of the adjustments in our relationship, is me trying to almost come out of my shell. And
it helped us grow individually and as a couple. But anyone that knows TJ knows that he's a quiet, calm, sturdy guy that's going to like always have your back. And that's exactly what he is with the two of us. So,
who's tougher in the cold tub?
I am, for sure.
You were philanthropic before Lighthouse Foundation. What's the genesis of that, and how are you hoping to use that as a tool?
Yeah, we started that right around the time we got married. Mm-hmm. I'd always done stuff with cystic fibrosis, and after she was diagnosed with MS, we wanted a way to be able to contribute to both. And then locally, we wanted to support local athletes. So, it's been going good. We started a pickleball tournament to raise money. And then A&W approached us to do the Burgers to Beat MS. It's always nice to give back. The community back home especially has been so supportive of me throughout my career that, any little thing I can do, I want to.
You're doing a big thing, because you're not just doing that, but you're donating mm-hmm. as a family to the MS Society here in Canada. Why was that important?
I think obviously for research reasons, like as much funding as possible is going to get us closer to a cure. But definitely awareness, because for me, like when I was diagnosed, I didn't know anything about MS. So I think that's the big thing for us, is to just create that awareness, create the feeling that if you are struggling with this, you're not alone. There's just so much information and support out there. So I think that's something that we definitely want to help bring light to.
All the way back to your time in Calgary, you were part of MS on Ice events. What were those experiences like for you?
I think it was...
Yeah, it was good. It was a good way to get the community and the team out together. It was just a gala to raise money and awareness. It was the first time we publicly talked about Amber's diagnosis mm-hmm. On camera.
Yeah, so it was a little bit emotional at the time and super fresh, but you kind of just gotta bite the bullet at some point.
Why did you decide to be public about it and continue to be public about it? You're mm-hmm. at a place where, if someone met you, they wouldn't know, because you've been able to manage the symptoms mm-hmm. right now. Why make that choice as a family?
I think that's the one misconception with MS. It can be such an invisible disease. So I think for me, once I finally accepted it as a part of my life, I just thought, why not? Like, there's so many people struggling, maybe thinking that they are alone, or it's just a great way to create a community around something that's a little bit heavy.
Was it difficult to accept it?
I think at first, for sure. I think more the unknown for me is the most difficult part.
And the process, because mm-hmm. she had her first symptom, and then...
It was years.
Yeah, then she had another one later. And like, they had to do all the tests, which took even longer. And so like the whole time since the first one, we were like, it's a possibility that that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But you never really find out definitively until way later.
Yeah, the waiting is the hardest. And that's exactly the same with day by day, is tomorrow could look a lot different than today. So yeah, I find that the waiting game is what I struggle with.
Can you describe the symptoms you had throughout the years and what those flare-ups were like?
Yeah, my first symptom, I started losing vision, and I was told it was optic neuritis, which essentially is inflammation of the optic nerve. And then it was about a year later. This lasted for about a month or two, and then I almost fully recovered from that. But then about a year later, I lost feeling from my waist down for about a month. And then since then, it was kind of like, okay, what do we do next? And next step was the MRI, which then showed spots on my brain and spinal cord, and that's when they could officially diagnose me.
And when you get that definitive diagnosis, what comes to mind?
You know what? It was almost a relief. Like, it was almost like, okay, we know now, instead of this, like, up in the air, like, are we ever gonna know what's going on? So it was kind of a relief, and I feel like because it had been kind of years in the making, there was that time to process and accept. Yeah.
What was it like for you?
Yeah, it's tough. Like I said, watching her struggle and not being able to help, and the only way I can help is emotionally, which I'm already not good at. And then when she was officially diagnosed, I was on the road. So, you know, you can't really do much through a telephone or FaceTime.
Yeah.
So it was a tough time.
I think that's the hard part about the lifestyle that we live, is what, like, everyone's dealing with their own stuff in their lives, but these guys got to go out and perform that night, and you have no idea what's going on at home or what they're thinking about. And yeah, I think that was a difficult day. But
knowing that he is trying to go out and perform, did you at all try to shield him from taking it on?
Not really. He wouldn't. I just know he wouldn't want that. Like, he wants to be fully aware, and he's very good at compartmentalizing when he's out on the ice. So no.
People in my job, we talk about pressure playing in a Canadian market in this city, you know, what it means to, you know, have playoff success as if it's do or die. Given, you know, what you've gone through, is it provided, you know, some perspective in relation to what that really means and doesn't mean?
100%. You know, you appreciate life away from the rink a lot more. And I think when you do that and you find a way to only worry about things that are in your control on and off the ice, then, you know, it gives you a way. Can we redo that? I just hear church yelling.
That's a great answer. That's cool.
But I feel like you're very good at...
Yeah.
I feel like that's come with age, too.
It's come with age. I think going through what we went through with Amber and then just playing in the league for as long as I have, you learn that there's certain things that aren't worth worrying about because you can't control them. So all you can do is go out there, play the best you can, come home, be the best person you can, the best dad, husband you can, and whatever happens, you know, you deal with it when it comes. And, you know, tomorrow if you wake up, it's a good day, and you go from there.
Yeah.
What's the experience like for you, being able to go see him in a game, see what he loves, go with your children, something that maybe you didn't know you'd always be able to do? What's that like for you now?
It's exciting. I think, yeah, it's exciting bringing the kids too, and it lights up their face. They see dad in a totally different light. They were scared at first when they saw him in his equipment. But yeah, again, like TJ said, like, you just never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So we're definitely living in a more grateful life these days, I would say.
And has it changed your overall perspective on life?
Definitely. Yeah. Like TJ said, like, you kind of, it changes your perspective. You, as like cliche as it sounds, it's just the important things in life are right here, you know?
What's it going to be like for you guys on Burgers to beat MS Day, interacting with, you know, patrons and people from the MS Society? What are you looking forward to most about that?
I think it's just such a cool way to bring community together for something that's so heavy. It's such a fun event and delicious. Yeah. I think it'll be awesome. It's always nice to meet people and see familiar faces as well.
Yeah.
Have you heard from people who have heard your story, who have said that it meant something to them?
I think, yeah, it's amazing too how many people, once they've heard my story, share theirs. And it also, it helps me. Like, they think it's helping them kind of feel connected in a way, but it also helps me. So I'm definitely grateful. I never want anyone to, like, not reach out, that's for sure.
And lastly, ask you both, what, if anything, do you want people to learn from your story, from what you had to deal with, what you've been able to overcome, and what, you know, you hope for the future?
I just think definitely that you're not alone, that there's so much support, especially through MS Canada. There's so much information out there, and there's so much support through all their resources, and that there is life on the other side of your diagnosis.
Yeah, I think also, like, 60% of people diagnosed with it are between the ages of 20 and 39, 40. So, you know, that's a busy time in your life, whether it's, you know, marriage, kids, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. And you don't want, you know, that burden just to be on them, mm-hmm. that there is options.
Yeah, your life's not over.
You need a good support system, which we're very fortunate to have in our families.
Yeah.
And, you know, just talking about it helps.
Well, we generally talk about athletes and their families' legacy in a binary way based off of, you know, individual accolades and team success. Well, your family's legacy now is going to be much bigger than that. It's what you do for the community in Canada, specifically struggling with MS. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us share.
Thank you so much to both TJ and Amber and their whole family, who was so gracious to allow me to come into their home to hear and via this podcast tell their story. But the story's not done. Their philanthropic work, it's really impressive. In terms of the philanthropic endeavors that they mentioned, they will be in our show notes. Specifically, burgerstobeatms.ca is where you can go to donate directly, or you can go to your local A&W restaurant and have a great burger. This has been a great conversation, and hopefully it inspires you to help for a great cause. Thanks for listening.